relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
You're listening to America First with Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald J. Trump.
Did you catch the president yesterday in Georgia? He was on form. If you didn't, we have some wonderful, wonderful clips. Let's just start our second hour of video cut five, the president from his rally last night.
Hello, Georgia, by the way. There's no way we lost Georgia. There's no way. That was a rigged election, but we're still fighting it, and you'll see what's going to happen. We'll talk about it, and I just want to thank you. This is some crowd. You know, Biden was here today also. They had 14 people in three cars. No, there was no way, and I just want to thank you. You know, I've had two elections. I won both of them. It's amazing. And I actually did much better on the second one.
I just love that image of Marine One in the background. It was if you haven't watched it, go and watch it. It was a fabulous speech. I have to ask my good friend Conrad Black what he thought of it. Historian, columnist, financier. He is the author of the fabulous The President Like No Other, Donald J. Trump and the Restoring of America. Conrad, are you surprised by the spirit the president is showing just 2 days before the Electoral College vote?
Not at all. He is an indefatigable man, and I think even his enemies admit that he's a human tornado. He never flags. He never gives up, and it's an impressive sight to see. And in this case, I think he has a just argument. I think he was cheated out of the election, and I think a huge number of Americans think that. And it's a terrible menace to democracy. If the United States can't produce honest presidential elections and the Supreme Court just abdicates and, in effect, causes the judiciary to cease to be a co-equal branch of government, and we have the strangulation of the justice system where it is, in effect, inconvenient to the liberal democratic establishment, you have to wonder just how secure, given that you have a totalitarian liberal press and social media, how secure American democracy is. And I think the president out there giving addresses like he did last night is putting himself at the head of everybody in the country who is, irrespective of party or ideology, concerned about the health of small d democratic rule in the United States. And it's a cause that Even Democrats who seriously dislike Trump should be concerned about. Stolen elections are not on in a serious democracy.
Indeed. We had that other titan of our show. We had Victor Davis Hanson on in the last hour, and I'm going to ask...
He is a great American and a dear friend of mine, and you can be sure that everything he says is sensible.
Well, I have to ask you, you are the top favorites here on this show. I have to ask you the same question I asked him with regards to what's happening tomorrow here in Washington, D.C. Are you surprised? He said it was
too little too late, but I have to ask you, are you surprised by the fact that finally we have 140 congressmen and women and a dozen senators who say, who have committed themselves prior to the fact to raising objections? Is this a good sign or is it a little too late?
Well, I think it's both. I think it's too late, but I think probably too late. But I think it's very good, and I think it may grow, because I believe with those numbers, they absolutely have to have a debate.
Yes.
They can't just take a voice vote and say, right, the president's elected. In my opinion, they have to have a debate, and that debate has to be televised, even by Trump-hating networks. And you don't obviously expect the entire country to sit down and watch a debate on the fineries of the Constitution. But I think it will succeed in planting firmly in the mind of a huge number of Americans, including many independent voters and some Democrats, that there is something seriously questionable about this election. And in my opinion, that enables Trump to conduct himself. He'd have to do it carefully and in a strategized way, over the next 4 years, the way Andrew Jackson did between 1824 and 1828, when he led the popular vote, but it went to the House of Representatives and Henry Clay and John Quincy Adams put their forces together and put Adams into the White House. I mean, there was nothing particularly wrong with it, but Jackson made it out to be, as he called it, a corrupt bargain. Well, here, I believe, now here I may make myself a laughingstock in the eyes of all of your listeners, but I think the Republican candidates today in Georgia for the U.S. Senate will win, and they won't win by landslides, but it won't be as close as people are saying, and it will highlight the fact that Trump had the election stolen from him in Georgia. And I think that will give an even greater sense of purpose and outrage, legitimate moral outrage, not confected histrionics, the people opposing or questioning the presidential election result in the Congress tomorrow.
And why do you think this is a turn up for the books? Why do you think they will win today in Georgia?
Because I think Trump lost by 10 or 11,000 votes because it was a ballot stuffing operation.
Right.
Taking advantage of COVID rules, and somehow they got to the Secretary of State Ransperger, Secretary of State of Georgia. I'm not saying he took a bribe. I have no standing to say how they got to him, but they did, and he has stood four square. He's now been effectively renounced even by the governor for his failure first of all, his capitulation to Stacey Abrams and the consent decree, and then his failure to do his duty, to do what he could to ensure that the counting of the votes was fair. And that gave them a narrow lead that ostensibly won the state of Georgia for Biden. That's not going to happen today. I have full faith in Karl Rove and others to make sure it doesn't happen again now. And I think if you take that away, the Republican candidates run quite well, and I think, I may be completely wrong. For all, maybe the Georgians, the population of Georgia, have taken collective leave of their senses, and they elect these two communists, Ossoff and Warnock. But I don't think so. I think we revert to a sensible Georgia. Loeffler and Perdue win by a respectable margin, no kind of a landslide, but not the photo finish that's expected. And that will just illustrate the extent to which the Democrats stuff the ballot boxes, with their 4 a.m. helicopter drops and so on, in the presidential election in Georgia.
Well, that makes my next question all the more piquant, if you will. We had a caller ask in the last hour if the objections fail, if Biden is declared, should the president be on the rostrum for the inauguration? Now, you are, amongst many of your attributes, a presidential historian. You've written on FDR, on Nixon, and on the current incumbent. What kind of precedent would that set? If it were me, I don't give the president advice because I still work for him, so I would not dare to do so. But if it were me, I would in no way, shape, or form legitimize a stolen election by being on that podium. Could he stay away?
Lord Black?
Indeed. In this one area, Sebastian, I have been slightly bolder than you. I wrote a column just at Christmas time that I thought he should not attend the inauguration. I thought he should speak to the nation 2 days before the inauguration and explain why he is not attending, put it in a temperate way, but say this is a tainted election, and I'm not going to dignify the process. I am asking the vice president to attend to show that we accept with reservations, but we accept that Mr. Biden is being installed as president, and we all wish all of our supporters to continue to be law-abiding citizens and our supporters to work with us to make a legitimate change at the next electoral opportunity. But I will not attend because it has been a dishonest election, and I further recommended that he leave Washington the day before the inauguration on his own plane, not a government plane.
Fabulous suggestion. So glad I asked you. He is the author of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Champion of Freedom, and Richard M. Nixon, A Life in Full. And most relevant, of course, to today's discussion, his latest work, A President Like No Other, Donald J. Trump and the Restoring of America. Follow him right now on Twitter, Conrad M. Black. We will continue our discussion here on America First on the Salem Radio Network. As you may have heard, we just broke 27 million views on YouTube. We love our terrestrial broadcasts. All of you who listen to us on podcasts, but please check out, it's free, The Price is Right, our YouTube channel. Subscribe, look for America First, Sebastian Gorka. Hit the notifications bell twice and you'll never miss a segment. Likewise, just in case, because YouTube is owned by Google, we are also available on the alternative Rumble platform, the Twitter alternative Parler, and of course on Facebook. Back after these messages.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
So before we came on in the break, which you get to hear if you're watching us on YouTube, you get to hear the chit-chat with our guests and the team. We were talking about my experience with C-19 with COVID during Christmas. And I heard from our guest that even William Bennett caught it and destroyed it, as can be expected. Godspeed to you. So glad to hear that, Mr. Bennett. And now we want to talk about that issue with Lord Conrad Black and exploiting my position as the chair. I'm going to play a fabulous little clip of somebody called Rosa Flores, a CNN quote-unquote reporter who harangued the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis. Response was how it should be done. Cut 10.
Governor, what has gone wrong with the rollout of the vaccine that we've seen phone lines jammed, websites crashing?
It's a lot of demand. I mean, I think at the end of the day,
if I could finish my question.
You just said what has gone wrong, so I'm answering the question.
If I could complete the question, though.
So you're going to give a speech or are you going to ask a question?
With all due respect, Governor,
you asked the question, I'm going
to
answer it.
Finish my question.
No, you're giving a speech. You asked the question.
I am trying to ask you the...
You're going to ask how many questions? You get three? They only got one question. Why do you get three?
With all due respect, Governor, I'm just asking if I could finish my question.
You didn't. You finished the question.
I did not. My full question is, what went wrong with the rollout of the vaccine when we've seen phone lines jammed, websites
crashing?
So you're
repeating your question.
To complete it for you, Governor, we've seen websites crash and also senior citizens waiting overnight for the vaccine.
Where was that at?
We've seen it in Duval, Broward, Orange, and Lee County.
And why was, like, in Lee, why did that happen? Did you investigate
why? That's my question to you, Governor. You're the governor of the state. I'm not the governor of the state.
Okay, but you didn't investigate why that happened, like, in Lee County. Why was there a big line? Did you investigate why?
Could you tell us why?
Because we distributed vaccine to hospitals, and the hospital said, first come, first serve. If you show up, we'll do it. So they didn't use a registration system. There wasn't anything that was done. And there's a lot of demand for it. So people are going to want to go ahead and get it.
So are you saying there was no plan then from the state to make sure that senior citizens didn't wait outside overnight?
So the state is not dictating to hospitals how, we're not dictating to Carlos Mongoya how he runs his operations here. That would be a total disaster. These guys are much more competent to be able to deliver healthcare services than a state government could ever be.
Now, Lord Black, I wish all press conferences to look like that. Am I being uncouth?
On the contrary, I think that that was a perfect demonstration of why 85% of Americans don't trust the media. That questioner was the most obnoxious journalist I think I've ever heard. Why he restrained himself from a serious diatribe against the rudeness and imbecility and acoustical irritation of that woman, as I surmise she was, although I wouldn't be confident about. I don't know, and he deserves great commendation for his patience. I mean, she was just utterly obnoxious, and he gave a good answer. And he is a very good governor, I think, and I believe that his handling of the whole COVID crisis has redounded to his benefit within the state. I think he's generally regarded in his state and elsewhere as having really handled it as well as anybody has anywhere in the country.
Well, we have a new phrase for our show lexicon, acoustical irritation. And I hope we are never an acoustical irritation. More seriously, to the broader point, Lord Black, the way we've dealt with this pandemic, I've been through it. Of course, people have had much more serious cases. But the amount of disinformation, misinformation is still legion, is it not?
Yeah, it is. I mean, again, I don't want to be flippant about it. Of course, it's a terribly serious problem. But in my opinion, the Democratic media, in alliance with the Democratic Party and the elders of that party, saw at once the ability to terrorize the public with this. And their objective, I don't mean to mind read, but I think it's a reasonable inference that their objective was to force the administration and the states individually, in general, at least in the larger states, into an economic lockdown that inflicted such discomfort and distress economically and sociologically on the country that they could use it politically. And to that end, they created a myth factory about how the president mismanaged everything, when in fact we well remember that when Gavin Newsom and Andrew Cuomo were floundering around incapable of giving any assurance about anything, and Cuomo's complicit in the death of tens of thousands of elderly people that he sent back to homes for such people where the coronavirus spread easily and tragically. The whole propaganda campaign was taken up all around the world. Now, there were local reasons for it in many different countries, but as in so many things, the presiding and initiating spirit of response came from the hysteria generated by the American media demanding that the entire country be shut down. And the president trying to balance between avoiding political oblivion and doing the right thing opposite the country, both economically and medically in public health areas, consented in effect to a short lockdown and brought the country back economically better than any other country. But what were left out of the equation were that 80% of so-called coronavirus deaths are of people who have other serious problems.
Yes.
It's not exactly clear what the effective cause is. The average age of death is 78, which is the life expectancy of the U.S. I'm not making light of that. I'm not far short of that age myself. Everyone is a tragedy, but it's not as if it was of equal danger to children in elementary school, to high school students, to university students, to 20 to 50-year-old younger and younger middle-aged people. It wasn't. It was in less than it was a danger, a mortal danger to 1% of the population. So the correct response is to go to extreme lengths to protect that 1% and segregate them, medically speaking, and to let everybody else as much as possible get on with their lives as usual. I mean, take precautions, wear masks, whatever, thin people out a bit in restaurants, but not this hysterical response that has absolutely flattened the country. And incidentally, let us face facts. There's no dispute, as far as I'm aware, that the Chinese knew what sort of a virus they had and did nothing to prevent it spreading around the world. That, in my opinion, is bacteriological warfare, and they haven't even been accused of it. But they've won a great victory. They've defeated us. We've got to do better.
And on the contrary, they actually allowed people from Wuhan province to see it across the world by the international travel. Find out more from this great man in his latest work, A President Like No Other, Donald J. Trump and the Restoring of America, also writing regularly at one of our favorite websites, amgreatness.com. That's American Greatness. Happy New Year, Lord Black. Back with your calls here on America First on the Salem Radio Network with me, your host, Sebastian Gorka, member of the President's National Security Education Board from the ReliefFactor.com studios. This year marks 20 years since America's darkest day, September the 11th, 2001, and the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. Our nation's heroes, people who are willing to die for you and me, need your help. Join Tunnel to Towers on their mission to do good and help these heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's the letter T, the number 2, and the letter T.org. That's T2T.org. Thank you.
Madam Speaker, I rise today to strongly object to this Soviet-style rules package. If you look at some of the things that are being laid out here, it is all designed to take away the voice of 48% of this House chamber.
That's what they're already trying to do in the new session of Congress. That was, of course, the minority whip, Steve Scalise. Let's get Steve. I know it's going to be crazy this week, but as soon as we can, Mr. G, let's get Steve Scalise back on the show. But in the meantime, we have a full call board, and we must get to you the most important part of the show. Let's go to Cleveland, Ohio. Alan, line 3.
Yes, sir. I just had a conversation with my sister, and we're not particularly close, but I asked her about where she thought the virus came from, and she didn't believe it was China, and I was just totally stunned.
So where did she think it came from, Alan?
She didn't say.
What do you mean she didn't? I mean, yeah, you can't have a conversation. Why would you... What, she think it came from Mars?
We had a conversation, but she didn't, you know, whenever politics comes up, she shuts down. So
is she a Democrat?
You know, I'm not quite sure what she is. Like I said, we're not particularly close, but I mean, my question to you is how in the world can I get this woman to see the truth? I mean, good Lord.
A simple answer to that question, then every American would be voting for the conservative values that I hold dear to my heart. Look, I had a similar experience with my family just a few days ago. So
certain member of my wife's family called up, and I overheard part of the conversation because the Bluetooth speakers switched my wife's phone onto the, you know, speaker mode. And this person was very nicely asking, so how's Sebastian doing? Because she heard I caught the coronavirus. And my wife said, oh, he's great. He's fine. He's, you know, no symptoms. And he's taking hydroxychloroquine. And this relative of mine said, what? Hydroxy? But that's bad for you. And then I just thought, oh, I know this person reads the New York Times. I know all they watch is MSNBC. And I thought to myself, I got angry because I thought, this is a grown woman, a mother, and she so allowed herself to become indoctrinated. But what could I do, Alan? How could I go to her and say, you know what? You're brainwashed. You can't do that. So here's my recommendation to you. People do not question their whole worldview, because if they do, it creates an existential crisis. If you've been reading the New York Times for 60 years, nobody can absorb the idea that they've been lying to you your whole life. So what do you do? You undermine their trust in the propaganda organs and the narratives they have come to believe by your own personal behavior. The fact that I'm alive today and not dead because of hydroxychloroquine, and the fact that I had an incredibly mild experience of COVID-19, probably because I was taking hydroxychloroquine once a week as a prophylactic for the last 6 months, which meant once I contracted it, my body was capable of weathering it as if I had a mild case of the cold. Now that is potentially, Alan, more powerful than any argument I could get in with my wife's relative, or that you could get in with your sister. So it is through example, and it is through planting seeds of doubt in the propaganda they have become accustomed to, that maybe, no guarantee, Alan, maybe one day will allow them to question those lies and to find their own way to the truth. Because you cannot force someone to believe the truth. They have to find their own way, and they have to open their own eyes to the truth. So live your life in a way that you cleave to the one truth, and then maybe others will see the light. Wow. Early in the year for philosophy. Great question. Thank you, Alan. This is America First, back with your calls, special guests, and so much more.
Dr. G is in the house on America First.
One of my colleagues at Salem texted me yesterday, said, I got a gun for Christmas. And he asked me his advice. He'd never gotten a gun of this type, and he wants to get some ammunition. I told him, come on, listen to the show, gunbroker.com. But if you're in the market, did you get a $600 check? Is it coming? Do you need a very portable 9mm? Car Firearms Group is a proud sponsor of this segment. It's spelled K-A-H-R. It's Car Arms, it's Magnum Research, the guys with the Deagles, the Desert Eagles, and Auto Ordnance, the modern version of the Tommy Gun. Together, it's the Car Firearms Group, a family of brands defending your family's freedom. Check them out. Look at their incredible products. That's at car.com, K-A-H-R.com. go there today. Let's go to your calls now. Let's go to Florida. And Joe, line four.
Hey, Dr. Gorka. Love you. Love your show.
Thank you.
Listen to it almost every day. I want a war game, two scenarios to play out tomorrow.
Yes.
The number one scenario is what they're doing, contesting. And, you know, they'll present all the evidence. They'll end up going to the,
houses,
the House
chambers,
and the Senate to vote. And it'll end up, yeah, you'll get all the evidence out, but it'll end up being a losing proposition. The Democrats will never vote to, the evidence in.
Yeah.
The second scenario, which I think is a better one, and certainly correct me if I'm wrong, if it gets to Pence is counting the votes, he doesn't pick the election, the presidency, but he just says, for those states that have dual votes, he just says, I cannot pick which one is the right one, so I'm just not going to count them. So less than the 270, and then potentially goes to the one vote per state scenario, or he sends them back to basically pick one or the other. Or the Supreme Court gets involved, and they would probably – it ends up being all on the legislature, the end result, not necessarily on Congress, on the other first
on the
scenario.
State houses, right.
So I don't like the idea of this contesting because it's putting more power on Congress and their vote to pick really the electors. They should just go right to Pence and him to say those six states – you have to pick one or the other, and since they have both, I cannot make the decision, so I'm not going to count the votes, and let it play out that way. I think it's a better outcome.
Look, you need to listen, if you didn't, or if you're just watching and tuning in right now, to the Jenna Ellis, where we spent a whole three segments on the various scenarios, and she's a constitutional law professor. She works as an attorney to the president and to the Trump campaign. And she said something that I wasn't aware of. So you're right in terms of their dueling, so-called dueling slates of electors. The vice president can say, well, I'm not accepting either. And then, of course, that reduces the mandate to potentially below 270. But also, what she illuminated me on is if he knows in advance that we have numerous states where we have clearly fraudulent results, without opening the envelope, that state, even if it's just one slate of electors, the vice president, in his position as president of the Senate, can send that whole slate of electors back to the state house and say, guys, there are issues here. You need to clean your own home up first. So all of these scenarios are open, and it begins tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern, and we will be covering. So, Joe, you've laid out the scenarios, I think, accurately. Nobody knows where they will eventually lead to. But let's listen to what the Democrats thought about challenging votes in prior elections. Video cut 11.
I was not in this body 4 years ago. But what I observed as a voter, as a citizen of Illinois 4 years ago, were troubling evidence of the fact that not every vote was being counted.
Senator from New York.
Mr. President, this is obviously a difficult debate for many reasons, but I commend the senator from California for joining with members of the House, most particularly Congresswoman Stephanie Tubbs Jones, in raising the objection because it does permit us to air some of these issues.
Why did a computing error in Franklin County initially award 4,258 extra votes to George Bush when only 638 people had actually voted? Thankfully, they fixed it. But how many other votes did the computers get wrong?
Too many voters have cast votes on machines that jam or malfunction or suck the votes without a trace.
As we look at our election system, I think it's fair to say that there are many legitimate questions about its accuracy, about its integrity, and they're not confined to the state of Ohio.
Because of these and many other examples, all documented in the press, I am joining with Congresswoman Stephanie Tubbs Jones to cast the light of truth on a flawed system.
There is no reason at a time when we have enormous battles taking place ideologically all across the globe, at a time when we're trying to make certain that we encourage democracy in Iraq and Afghanistan and other places throughout the world, that we have the legitimacy of our elections challenged, rightly or wrongly, by people who are not certain as to whether our processes are fair and just.
Ohio is the objection. I'm from Ohio. I'm raising the objection. But I anticipate you will also hear from some of my colleagues from other states who had similar situations. Now, it's easy to say, well, it happened in Ohio, it happened in Michigan, it happened in Arizona, and so let's not worry about it because it happened everywhere.
So I would hope that this body, and thanks to the objection of my friend from California, this debate, which has started today, will continue.
But there are other things that are being presented that people have shown that I witnessed myself that would say to me that the irregularities in Ohio deserve a hearing in the House of Representatives.
I would be standing here saying this no matter what the outcome of the election, because I still think the best rule in politics is the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Did Hillary Clinton just invoke the golden rule? Oh, that is a comedy clip. Thank you. That is the Media Research Center's montage. So I guess when people tell you that it's unprecedented, tomorrow's challenge is unprecedented, they're morons or you're being lied to. Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Barbara Boxer and others had no problem challenging a presidential election when it was a Republican who was winning. So that's why we're here, to give you the facts. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor! I'm so grateful to Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son team behind this incredible drug-free product that is providing pain relief to tens of thousands of Americans across the country, me included, as well as Gary from California. I cannot thank you enough. I'm 62 years old and have just started taking Relief Factor. I have never felt better and will recommend it to all my baby boomer friends. That could be you. Find out today. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com or call them on 800-500-8384. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you'll know if it works for you like it works for me, Gary, and thousands of your fellow Americans. You've waited long enough. Do it now. Relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com.
Truth. The whole truth. Nothing but the truth. That's Dr. G's specialty. America First.
Italy. It's just Finland in fancy dress. That's your hot take for today. Don't tell me where I get it from. We have a crazy comment section. We are back. This is America First with me, your host, Sebastian Gorka. Please exploit us mercilessly right now. Mike Lindell's going to give you 60%, more than 60% off if you use my name at his burgeoning empire, MyPillow.com, the pillow that never gets hot, never loses its shape, guaranteed for 10 years. Call 800-829-8468, 800-829-8468, MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A. Let's go to America's hat, as my friend Chris Plant calls it. Colt in Canada, who has 4 points to raise, but I don't have time for 4 points. Give me your best one.
Sounds good. Thank you very much for having me on. Just wanted to make one comment then with regards to what's going to happen on tomorrow, and just with what's been happening in general with the senators coming forward now, Lindsey Graham and others saying that they're not going to support the legislators, not coming, looking like they're going to change because they could change the election in a heartbeat. My four reasons why, or a few reasons why I think it's not happening, is one, they're rhinos. Two,
yes.
The Democrats have something on them. Three, intimidation from Antifa like Holly. And four is the almighty dollar. Those are my thoughts as to why they're not coming forward, because anybody to me with a pulse and a brain knows that there's been fraud. And if they're not, they're delusional. But one, I just had one quick question for you. I was listening to, I think it was Charlie Kirk or something earlier, and they came up, and I don't know if this is even a possibility, but is it possible that Mike Pence could declare like a kind of a conflict of interest, and someone like Chuck Grassley or something could end up proceeding over it?
I've heard that. I think it's a conspiracy theory. But, Colt, you did Canuck math. I said 1 point. You gave me four in a question. That's naughty. But stay on the line. We'll give you a signed copy of The War for America's Soul. Don in St. Paul, line three. Let's squeeze in Don.
Hello, yes.
Yes. Quick point. You've got 60 seconds.
Okay, yes. I was just listening to you guys talking about family members who don't get it. I just visited my fiance's mother in San Francisco. She avidly watches CNN, subscribes to New York Times. I believe that the election was stolen because laws were passed that favored Democrats prior to the election.
Yes.
She'd never even heard that point. So I think that these media outlets are just not saying it because it makes too much sense.
Well, and the point here is, and this is just, you know, a statement of fact, conservatives like you, Don, like me, we know what the other side is saying. We know what CNN, what MSNBC, and the New York Times is writing. But the shocking thing is people like that, like your mother-in-law, have no idea what's going on outside their little bubble. And it's really tragic. But that's why we're here. Great calls. God bless. We will be back with none other than assistant to the president, Peter Navarro.